exactly say exactly what you want me to say. I wanted to share with you, I've been trying to get this right, but this afternoon at 2:30 was on TBN. There's a special, Greg Laurie, I think, is bringing this special, and you might want to watch that. I was just informed about it, but I think it's going to be a special with Charlie, a lot of things. And so that'll be 2:30 this afternoon, and take a look at it if you get a chance. I'll try to let you out before then so you can get there in time to listen to it. There's a lot of things I wanted to say, and I want to share with you. And I try to be very honest and open up here and not ever conceal something from you. But I have had some real, I had some real anger issues this week over this whole thing. And it's better just to say it instead of playing like I was angry. I was angry over the whole shooting incident. Thousand things went through my mind. I know that, they're saying they've caught this guy and all of this stuff, but I hope they have. From a military perspective, I just had issues at how this was set up, how this guy knew exactly where to be, and how there was someone talking to Charlie about the subject, the trans thing and trans killings and shootings and murders and so forth. Anyway, he was distracted so that he was turned away and kept in his chair because he has a tendency to get up. I know it wasn't all that far for a bolt action rifle, but there's a canopy. And you have to know on the height, if you get too high, you're shooting through a canopy. If you get too low, there's people there in front of you. So that had to be precisely worked out. And there's a lot of things here, and I'm not FBI, but I am military, and I know you have to rehearse and practice and do this. And so I'm looking at a man under a canopy, and if you're too high in the air, you can't see for the canopy. If you're too low, you're shooting through the people. And so it had to be perfect, it had to be practiced, it had to be rehearsed. This was not just one of those plop-plop things. So I want you to know there's more to this than meets the eye. And I don't know if we'll ever know. So what we do is ask God to reveal the truth. And I did not know about this website. I guess a lot of you may have, but I didn't know about it, that this kid was apparently on. And if you're really upset at life and the world and hate everybody, you go on this particular. Does everybody what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Oh. Nobody knows what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Okay, well, never mind. There's a website that the discontent and those who... George Soros' son is a big part of that. Okay? And anyway, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. Anyway, there's a website that these people are on, and it's all dealing with Antifa and doing it, doing away with people who Antifa opposes and so forth. It's a... Okay? Well... Check it out. You'll see I'm right. And anyway, he was on that and all these messages. Now the site suddenly dropped everything and his whole, what do you call it, website and everything, it's gone. But FBI is looking into that because it's a site for discontents and it's a site for Antifa to work on. And anyway, okay. Anyway, so what, knowing all this, and seeing how this happened, there's more to this story than meets the eye. And if you ever prayed, and you prayed with your spiritual armor on against the enemy, I'm encouraging you to do that now. Because there's forces at work against anyone who stands up for the Lord, against anyone who preaches Jesus Christ, against anyone who's out there, and listen to this, just anyone who tries... to help people see another side and make sense. Because we've got a bunch of brainwashed people, then they're being brainwashed by communists, socialists, atheists, teachers, and professors. And God, I pray, and God will raise up someone, get this, instead of us grieving the loss and leaving it there, I'm praying God will bring up someone mightier, stronger, more bold, more able to get into the crowd than ever before. And it's like, oh no, now all you've done is just raise up a... I really am. I'm praying that. You have not won. You will not get this thing. Because friends, what we need now is really, purely, truly radical Christianity. This message today, I'm saying all this to lead into this. Excuse me a moment. There's something not right here. There we go. I felt like crowded. Anyway, I don't like crowded areas. I was watching a movie the other day, and they were in a cave. And when I was diving a whole lot, I was trained military, and we dived in. But I'll tell you one thing, I hated caves. I don't like underwater caves. I don't like carrying all those tanks down there and have to string them along and then having to, reel offline and all the stuff that can happen and go wrong. I hated them. And even the old Six Flags ride, you remember some of the Six Flags ride where some of them would go through that old dark cave? I hated that darn thing. I hated it from the military days. I hated being in a place like that. And of course, underwater, when you go in a place like that, if anything goes wrong, your chances of survival have gone down to about zero. And so, I just hated all that stuff and the close quarters. And I've never been real claustrophobic because we did all that. You had to do that certifying. You had to do a lot of things to get you advanced certification things. But I don't like it now. You ever notice as you get a little older that there's some things that just were used to be okay, they're not okay now? And God bless you sitting at the table there. Enjoy it where you're at as long as you can. You'll get this age and all this paranoia will start coming in your life. You'll be looking at your teeth saying, is that one loose? Yeah? I've just noticed things like that. And I was thinking of the ride at Six Flags. Remember the old ride that you went to a cave and it's dark? I hated the thing. I won't ride any of the rides at any of the... Yes, to Texas? Don't ask me to go ride those rides. And you say, that's crazy. I can't stand it. Maybe jumping out of those airplanes and doing all that. There's just something about going on a ride. And then I read where one of the rides, not there, but somewhere. Did you see that? One of the rides broke. And that's what I've always feared with this. It's like civilians don't take care of things. And you can look it up. Somewhere in one of the big places, one of the big rides broke and they're just dangling there. I said, see, we trusted our stuff and our parachutes, and you never know who packed them, but we trusted them anyway. So the whole point being this, we all develop things, we all go through stuff, we all have issues, and we just have to learn to let God lead us through them. And this whole thing today is wrapped around this message of we all have these weird things happen to us. I'm discovering little things in my life that I never, at least I didn't know I had. And so I want to lead you into, and we'll just spend a few minutes to give you hope and encouragement. This is not a political message. I've said all that. I want to get into the Word of God because that's what we need. But it's out of this one. We're going to begin with the Psalms. We're going to go back to Matthew. But we'll begin with Psalms 23, 1 through 3. And that's actually the highlight verse for this whole message. So let me read this, share this with you. And then we'll look at it. We'll dissect it and bring Matthew into it and an event that happened there. And get some insights. Because we need them. We need them a lot right now. So let's look at this. The Lord is my light. This is Psalms 23, Psalms 27, verses 1 through 3. I get excited because I like these. I like these scriptures, all of them. And the Lord, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And sometimes, listen, it's easy to write out the Old Testament, say, I'm just a New Testament person. God, there's some great stuff in the Old Testament. If you don't know the Old, you won't appreciate the New as much. So, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's making a declaration here that every one of us, as God's people, we need to tie into. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Not politics, not Republicans, not Democrats, not a senator, not a congressperson, not the president, not the vice president. The Lord. Not a pastor somewhere, not a church somewhere, not this church, not me, not anybody. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He said, if he's really your light, your salvation, what are you afraid of? Whom are you going to fear when God is all this? And he said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'll tell you, when you get afraid is when God's not the strength of your life and you're relying on our own strength, the strength of somebody else. And if there's anything that this shooting has shown us, is you can't rely on anything, anybody, anywhere. You can count on nothing on this planet except Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord God Almighty. That's it. And things like this happen, as tragic as they are, to remind us, don't put your hope on anything on this planet. And that's hard not to do. But you must put your hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, then when the wicked came up against me to eat up my flesh, and friends, the wicked are against us. My enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. And then he goes on to say, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Now let me just take this before we move to Matthew, because the first thing we're looking at is God. That we title this message, God is God, God all powerful, and first of all, God has power over fear. And what he says here, then you're my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? So let's put it this way. You're saved if you've asked Jesus Christ in your heart and he's forgiven you of your sins. You're in God's hands. Jesus said, I hold you in my hands. No one is able to pluck you out of my hand. He said, a father who is greater than I, you know, you can't no, hold you in his hand. No one can pluck you out of my father's hands. He said, once you're mine, and nobody can take you out of them. So you're saved and you're in God's hands. God is your light and he's your salvation. Let me ask you this. If God is your light and your salvation, if he's the strength of your life, then why are you afraid? If he's the one you're trusting in, if he's the one you truly believe in, then why are you standing here, or sitting here this morning with fear in your heart? Now, I know that we're not huge. We're not reaching a whole 90 states out here. I get that. But if you don't think it crossed my mind that, Tony, you're in a little bit more of a remote location. Things have happened in other churches. Do you think it didn't cross my mind just a wee bit? You're up here in public. People are hearing you out there away from this place. Do you think someone could disagree with your message, with some of the things you might say about something, calling out certain political people? It's like, Tony, do you not think that someone could want to hurt you? Well, I've lived with that, and I learned, and I'm saying I'm happy about it, but you know, you wear the uniform long enough, you realize there's people out there that want to hurt you. You know the difference was? I could hurt them back then. When I wore the camouflage, we could shoot back. Can't do that now. Not in that way. But I had to come up here this morning, and it's just fresh on my mind, and not, no, I'm not making myself somebody like that. But it's happened in churches. And it's like, you know, Tony, what you're going to have to do is walk in there and tell these folks, first of all, yeah, I deal with apprehensions. I deal with fears. I am up here in front of you, and I am telling you things. that God says in His Word, and there are people that just hate my guts for it. And there are people that will hate you for being here to receive it and you for saying it to other people. So we have to say to ourselves, am I willing to really trust the Lord to be my light, my strength, my salvation, and have no fear? Or I'm going to be so intimidated I quit this job. You can let your fear compel you, and you can get out of this. Or you can let Jesus Christ overcome your fear and do what you're put here to do. This is not just for me. This is for every one of us to think about. Am I going to be intimidated? Am I going to be afraid? Or am I going to let the Lord really, truly be my light and my salvation? Am I going to go on with what God's put me here to do and trust Him to take care of the rest? I'm vulnerable. There's nothing I can do up here. I'm up here. I get that. But I believe behind me is one of the biggest, toughest angels that you've ever seen. I come up here every Sunday, and I've been believing that for a long time. Didn't just start with Charlie Kirk. I have believed for a long, long time. Tony, you know who protects you and many another person that's sharing the word. There's a big battle angel up here, and as long as you stay true to God and you're going to bring God's word, not your opinion, that battle angel is there, and God help the person who tries to take him on. Now, I mean that. And you need to see yourself in that light. You need to see yourself with the Holy Spirit in your heart from believing in Jesus Christ and God's angels hovering over you. Now, when God says it's time to go home, they'll step back and say, okay, Father. But until that time, it's not going to happen. So whatever dark cave you have to go through, whatever struggle and doubt you have, listen, God is right there. And it may be dark to you, but if His light's in your heart, it's totally light from Him. So you don't have to worry. God is your strength. He said, when the wicked came up against me to eat up my flesh, yeah, he had enemies. So do you and so do I. And He said, they came up against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Are there people after us out there? It's been made public. We know it now. There's no doubt. I believe the name of that website I mentioned earlier is called Discord. I hope you don't check it out too much. It's full of radicals. Now, I said that before I was on, but I'm on. And I'm saying now, we're not running in fear. All you're going to do when you knock one of us down is cause 10 more to rise up. We're going to have to be that way, friends. There are casualties in war. And there's casualties in Christianity. And some people that you believe in will go down. Others will walk off. Others will betray their faith. And that's no excuse for you or me. We must stand with the Lord as our light and our salvation, our strength. And when the wicked rise up against us, and they will. You know why? Because they don't like God. They don't like Jesus. And because we believe in Him, they don't like us. Can you accept that? You're not going to please people. And now I'll say something. I want to say it as firmly as God puts it in my heart to say it. Quit trying to please people who do not want to be pleased. There are people out there, the only way they'll be happy with you is if you turn from your faith and do what they do and be exactly like them. And some of you may have some people that you call your friends, but they're not your friends if they can't accept that you're a believer in Christ and honor you for it. Why are you hanging around with people that ridicule your faith and talk bad about Christ? Why? They're not respecting Christ. They're not respecting you. So it's time for us to pay attention and say, am I going to be who God wants me to be? Am I going to live as God wants me to live? Am I going to do what God wants me to do? And live in consequences, if they're whatever they may be, up to Him. There are people who are going to seek to destroy us, and we already see that. And yet, what does he say? My enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. And he said, though an army encamps against me, my heart shall not fear. David had an army camp against him. He had his own king against him. He had everybody against him. How would you feel running and hiding in those dreaded caves? And he had to live in them for a period of time because Saul, the king, was after him. He not only had to worry about the enemies, the Philistines and all these people. Hey, they were closer at home. Let me share something with you about this. There's a great insight here. I wish we could go into David a little bit today, but just say this. David's worst enemies were never those that were out there. It was those that was here and within in his own family. His worst enemy was Saul. And all of Saul's army. That's why he said, though an army encamp against me, knew what he was talking about. You're going to take some of the worst hits of your life, not from people out there, but from people in the church. I don't mean this church, the church. There's more brokenness and more hurt people that have come out of churches than anywhere else. You expect it out there. You don't expect it next door. I pastored churches where I couldn't believe the shots people took at each other. The pain inflicted for what? Because somebody wore something they didn't like? Because somebody couldn't speak properly? Now, I remember hearing people corrected because they said, ain't. That ain't right. That ain't fair. And I've heard people say, you know, that I don't know why they come here. They can't even speak good English. My only response, and I would say it to their face now. I didn't know better then. I kept it to myself. But my response was, you know, you can't speak good Christianity. Would I say it now? Yeah, you get older. You don't care what you say. Sure, I'd say it. Yeah, you know, they may not speak good English, good grammar. You don't speak good Christianity. The things that we get on people for. So he had an army against him. He had his own Saul, his own king. Guess what? He said, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, in this I'll be confident. Why? He knew and trusted his God that one day God would take care of Saul. He'd take care of Saul's army. And then he'd go out there and take care of the Philistines and everybody else against Israel, against him. Friend, you may have a rowdy father-in-law, mother-in-law, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, some family member, some church member somewhere. You may have somebody that you just dread seeing them. You just dread the holidays because you know who's coming. And nothing will please them. The ham's not cooked properly. The turkey is just not done right. This dressing is off. What'd you put in this? You ever been around those kind of people, or is it just me that's had that unfortunate experience? Huh? You know, this meal smells funny. What's in this dessert? And then you just finally get to the point, you know, I don't know. I dropped it in there and picked it up. I don't know what it picked up. You know, I found this turkey on the side of the road as a roadkill. I did the best I could. You know, there's ways to come back with that and just let it go. Here's what he says. Whatever you're afraid of this morning, don't let it get bigger than God, and you claim his power over it right now. And you may think an army's against you, and maybe it is. And let me say something to everyone here, because I know in my own heart, so I'll share it. I've known this for a long time. Tony, there is an army against you. There's an army of the devil's demons that would like nothing better than to knock you down and keep you down. That's why the church must pray for its pastor. But that army is against every one of us. Yes, there's an army against us. And people filled with that demonic spirit, it's not the person, it's the demonic spirit in them that drives them to do demonic things. And so, yes, it's out there. But my God is my light and my salvation. And whom shall I fear? And God is the strength of my life, and I will not be afraid. I may have moments of panic, and I do. Oh, I've had panic. I've had panic a lot of times. But God's always come through. I was in a little offshore dive, and we got down pretty deep, and for whatever reason, a current never expected hit us on the bottom. That current grabbed me, and I lost all the divers. I couldn't find one. And I'm sweeping along, and this stuff's coming up still. And the current is driving so hard, I'm bouncing on the bottom, trying to figure out, and it's knocking me senseless. I knew there was an anchor chain. I knew there was your buoy rope that you get up. I couldn't find any of it. When you're in panic mode, when you're freaked out, it's hard to think of all the rules. It's real easy. And I've had people say, didn't you think to do this? Didn't you think to do that? Would you get down there and all that and tell me what you're thinking? When stuff is happening, that's why we freeze. You just go, what happens to the head? I don't know, but I mean, it's just, and I mean, I was being swept along down there, and I was gasping for air. Number one, don't hyperventilate. it's like breathe, breathe, breathe. I couldn't breathe because I was slamming into the coral down there, bam, bam, bam. And finally, it was like, I heard this in my head, get it together or you're gone. You're going to slam into something, it's going to knock you unconscious, you're going to die right down here because nobody can find it. I didn't know anything, and it's a freak out time. Get it together or you're gone. Maybe you need to learn to do that. So you know what I did? Had gloves on and everything because it's coral cut you. I just threw my arms out. And my hands caught coral. And that current's just tugging. It just gave me time to take a couple of breaths. Reached over with one hand and began to put just a touch of air in that buoyancy compensator, that vest that fills with air to get you up. Just a little. Just a little. And started lifting up over that. And then what happened? As I began to get up above the silt and get a little more, I could see up there. Then you could see the bottom of the boat. That's exactly the way it works in Christianity. Sometimes you're just down there in the mulk, the murk and the silt, and you're flying along and slamming into everything, and the devil's just beating the daylights out of you. And then all of a sudden, God says, take a breath. Give this to me. You can't stop this. I can. And you come to a halt and you realize, Lord, you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And just a little air and a little air and daylight comes. That's how Christ appears. He doesn't always stop us from being slammed along the bottom. He just brings us slowly up to see the light. Now, that's overcoming, what time is it? Oh, okay. That's dealing with your fear. God has power over it. And that's how He works. Let me grab some of these others just real quick. He has power over doubt. And I want to tell this story. You can read it on your own in Mark 14. Because all this works together. And not Mark, but Matthew 14. And here's what happens. Jesus, get this. Sometimes, does Jesus ever aggravate you? I know it's hard for Christians to admit, but sometimes He kind of aggravates us because He challenges us. And here's what happens. He'll ask us and put in our heart to do things, and then it doesn't go well. Anybody in this room that you ever felt God was in something you really knew was leading you, and yet it didn't go well? Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. You ever thought somebody was right for you and then it didn't go well? I don't go there. Okay. Jesus said, I want you guys to get in the boat and I want y'all to go on and I'm going to go up and pray. I'm going to be safe up here on the mountain. Y'all go out in the water. That's sometimes how I have to deal with him and saying, you know, you're safe in heaven. It's not real safe here on earth, God. Like he doesn't know that. So anyway, Jesus said, I'm going to go pray on the mountain. And you guys, you boys get in the boat and just row on out there. He knew what was coming. They got caught in a storm and they're in bad shape. The boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. What does that mean? No, it was rough. And it's a fourth watch, so it's late in the morning, and that bad. You know what? It's in that time of the night when people's wits are astray. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus walking on the water, and we all look at that as, oh, that's a phantasm. That's so fantastic, we can't believe it. But it's true, and he. And guess what they did? These were such faithful disciples. If you ever feel like you're a weak disciple, join the crowd. Because Jesus is walking on the water, and what do these guys do? It's a ghost. Wow. Really? I mean, you guys have not passed children's ghost stories yet, but sailors are superstitious. There's all kinds of, especially in those days, and, you know, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. And, you know, can you imagine Jesus? And if I've been Jesus, because thank God I'm not, I'm too Tony. You know? And I don't know, I would have, you know, if somebody says, it's a ghost, I would have said, boo. You know? What? You know, haven't you known me long enough? So anyway, it's a ghost. And they cried out, and what fear? And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, do not be afraid. Do you ever get a little aggravated at the Lord for this? He puts in your heart to do something, you go do it, and then all hell is breaking loose in your life, and it's just falling away, and the wind's blowing, and the waves are coming in your life, and you're saying, I thought God wanted me to do this, and now look at this mess, and you're safe in heaven. Come on, admit your human frustrations. That's how he heals us and helps us. And Jesus comes walking out there, and they call him a ghost. He didn't get offended. I would have been, so had some silly wit and humor to throw at him. Be of good cheer, it's me. You know why we see ghosts sometimes? Why we have these fears? Because some of you as a child had the living daylight scared out of you. Some of you had the daylights beaten out of you. Some of you are locked in closets. I tell things on myself and not to try to tell them on my sister. We had a, you know, we had a rough childhood. But my sister once in a while would be locked in a closet. I'll be locked outside and she got locked in the closet. We talk about that ever so often. She got to where then when it wasn't locked, she'd go in there because it was a refuge for her. She felt kind of safe in there. But sometimes she's locked in there. And your mind just goes to all kinds of places when you're like that. And it works on you in adulthood. Now, things like that have happened to some, and all of us. Some of us have had different things. You were neglected. You were abandoned. Whatever it may be, it's left a mark, a scar. And so you have fears as a result of it. You see ghosts. You panic. Some of you grew up with hardly anything to eat. You went times when you're just really hungry. And now you fear being without food. And you become a little hoarder, buying more than you need. Nobody's picking on you for that. Here this morning, there's only love and understanding. I know, I've been there. I just won't go home without my truck at least 3/4 full of gas. I just won't do it. Of course, I live out in the country. and you can't be sure. But I know it's more than that. It's from having things happen where we grew up and didn't even have enough gas to get into the doctor's town, and I just can't go through that again. There's two words I hate. I hate them because I heard them growing up. Cannot afford. I guess you can make it three. Cannot afford it. Anything we wanted as kids, even a little shirt, pair of socks, can't afford it. Do you think I hear those things in my head at times? And I don't ever want to go there again? And so we all have these issues. We all have these things where we're seeing ghosts. And Jesus comes walking right to us. He's coming with the blessing. But we see a ghost. And we don't see it as a gift of God. We don't see it as Christ coming to save us. We do like they did. We scream out in terror. Because we're so overcome with what's happened to us in the past. We see through that past filter. And we can't see what God working in the present. And friends, let God clean that filter. Ask Him to come into your heart and set you free from all that stuff that's in there that's darkening your vision of God and how He works. He is coming till you're walking on the water. And then we take one of these heroes, Peter. And Lord, if it's you, you're not convinced yet, Peter? Don't you know Him? If it's you, then let me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, well, no. Come on. Where I grew up in North Texas, you don't say, come on, you say, moan. So that's what Jesus said. He's a little North Texan. Moan. And you know, bless his heart, over the side he went, and here he goes. And he did what we all do. We're walking in faith in Jesus Christ. We're doing what God called us to do. We get in all kinds of trouble. Then we finally recognize Christ has allowed this for some reason, and because He wants to show how powerful He is. And is that you think maybe that's what's happening with these troubles you're experiencing? He wants to show you how powerful He is. He's let this happen so you can see Him coming to you on the water. And Peter does what every human being would do. He's walking on water. This is a whole new thing. You ever been on a spiritual cloud with God? And then you realize, start thinking, man, I shouldn't be here. Look at my sins, all my stuff. I'm such a... And down you go. And he felt the wind. And then he's looking all around him. See, when Jesus said, come on, he didn't stop the waves. He just said, come on. But Peter's walking over this stuff until he begins to look around and see, oh, that's what we all do. Too many of us right now are looking around at the Kirk thing and the other things and the murderous, horrible things and our politicians and we're going, whoa, we're looking at the waves and we begin to sink. And all he did was cry out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and pulled him right back up. Jesus knew Peter was going to sink in the waves before he ever stepped out of the boat. And Jesus knew every sin you would ever commit and every failure in your life before you were even born. And he's always there waiting for you to say, Lord, save me. Help me. And he lifts you up. Walked him to the boat. And what happened? The wind and the waves, all of it stopped. It ceased. And all he said to him was, you people, oh, you of little faith, why'd you doubt me? Listen to me. The greatest part here, it took so much courage for Peter to want to walk out there anyway. But you know what I see as the greatest thing, because it touches my humanity more? I see Jesus willing to pull me out of the water when I take my eyes off of Him. To me, the great miracle is not that I can walk on water. It's that when I can't, He lifts me up anyway. Now stop that doubt. You don't need it anymore. You don't need it. Jesus Christ has come to set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And even when you stumble, even when you fall, he's there. Worrying, got to hurry with this one. You know the story, the birds of the air. He said, Jesus said, I don't want you worrying about your life, what to eat, drink, about your body. He said, what are you so caught up in all this stuff for? Look at the birds of the air. And that's in Matthew 6 for reference. He said, look at the birds there. They don't sow, reap, they don't gather into barns. He said, you know what? They don't do a dadgum thing. They just eat. They just go out and eat seeds. Mostly. Some eat peaches and grapes and make us all mad at them. But the point is, he said, they just go out and do their thing. And yet I take care of them. And he said, why do you think that they're more important than you? Aren't you more important than a bird? Now, I know there's people out there today that say, oh no, birds and animals are more important than human beings. But the truth of the matter is, you're absolutely wrong. And people are the most important thing. And it doesn't say, you know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love Bambi as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And as much as I like animals, I like birds, I have all kinds of bird feeders, Martin houses, and all that kind of stuff, people are still who I'm to love as myself. And if that doesn't go well, read your Bible, that's the way it is. And he said, don't worry about your clothes. I clothe the flowers, the lilies of the field, and all this kind of stuff. And he said, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? He said, the Gentiles seek these things. What are the Gentiles? He said, the barbarians, the unbelievers. He said, the people that don't know me worry about all this stuff. He said, if you'll seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, I'll take care of that. He said, what are you worried about? Why are you worried? Why are you worried today? Why? If the Lord is your light and your salvation, if he's the light, your light and your strength, if you're really trusting in him, and no, you're not walking on water, he's pulling you out all the time, when are you going to stop worrying then? If Jesus has pulled you out of hell, he saved your soul, why would he not pull you out of the waters that try to drown you in life? And he'll give you what you need. Just seek him first. By the way, here's a note. I'm closing. I just put a note here because I didn't want to miss this. Because God put it in my heart. You know how it goes? If you can't fix it, God doesn't want you to fix it. He wants to fix it. Why don't you stop trying to fix what you know you can't fix? And let God fix it. Won't you quit trying to do his work for him and let him live in and through you to do his work through you? God has power over all. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be given to you. So you don't have to fear. You don't have to doubt. And you don't have to worry. Because Christ is walking on that water, and he's pulling you out of those waves, and he'll put you back in that boat, safe and sound. Just cry out, Lord, save me. Done. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for everyone that's come to hear it. Change our lives with it. Make us better going out than when we came in. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, our great and wonderful Almighty Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.